Coach Howard Tippett joins us here on WTLS. Longtime coach, born in the year 1935.
Right on Barnett Street, right down from the high school. From, you know, where the movie theater is.
Sure.
And as you come down Barnett, the Thorntons lived on the first house, and I think the Houstons lived on the second house, and the Tippetts lived on the third house.
How about that? Your dad and mom, I know.
My mom was a Howard, and they lived in the fourth house.
And
they met when they were 3 years old.
How about that? And your name's Howard, I'm assuming, for her name, correct?
That's my mom's maiden name, yeah.
Now, your dad and mom did run the Hotel Tallahassee for a little while, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Dad had a restaurant there, the hotel. Dad was he was elected mayor four times. He finished out 12 years and then had lung cancer and had to resign his last term after 12 years as a mayor. And then he had been the police chief also. And then mother, she was the head dietitian at the hospital, community hospital.
Golly. Did they do a little bit of that at the same time as him serving as mayor? Did he continue to run the hotel? Did she continue to work the hospital? Is that the way it worked?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did that. Yeah.
Four-time elected mayor. I don't know other than Payne anybody's been in that long.
Well, one of the great things that he had when he was the mayor, they had no taxes and they had a balanced budget. So that was the thing he ran on and won every time. So, yeah, he did a great job at that. But had a great restaurant. We had what we called up the Montgomery Highway, Wetumpka Highway. We had a restaurant there called the Panorama, and it was real successful. And then Dad opened a restaurant downtown at the Woodall Hotel in that lobby there. So he was in restaurant business there most of his life.
The hotel was built in the early 1900s. So did he just handle, when did the restaurant part come with it? Was that part of it from the beginning? Do you know that answer?
I really don't know that answer. I think at one time there had been a restaurant in there, and the hotel restaurant. And then I think they closed that. And then Dad, as he was in business and also in the as the mayor, he was a very good friend of the Woodalls. And the Woodalls owned the hotel. And he talked Ms. Woodall into letting him open up the restaurant again in the hotel. And that's the way it all started. Yeah, so... very successful at that.
How often did you eat there?
Well, when I was in high school, I ate there. In high school, I never ate at the restaurant, but I ate over at the community hospital with all the nurses for the whole time I was in high school. So I got good food all the time.
Well, you at Tallahassee, you did play all sports. You played for Coach O'Brien. Did he coach football, basketball, and baseball? What sports did he coach?
He coached all three when I was there. My senior year, I'm trying to think. It was either Coach O'Brien had coached me in football. He had coached me in basketball. And then I think my junior year, Coach O'Brien gave up the basketball, and they hired a guy named Louis Jensen that had played at the University of Louisville. And he came in and was a basketball coach and was very successful. He won a couple of district tournaments and took us to the state championships when they were all held in Tuscaloosa at that time. All 16 teams were there. I played with Coach O'Brien all those years. And he was a great man, great coach, really.
What was your best memory of him? What would you say about some of the things that he taught you that led you, obviously, into the coaching ranks?
Well, I'll tell you what. He was kind of like a second father to me. And, I always idolized him like everybody else in Tallahassee did. But funny thing that he always taught me one thing, and I still think about it now. We were playing, I forget, it might have been Ellic City or Opelika, one of those teams. But anyway, we were playing, and it was kind of at the end of the game, and Coach O'Brien sent a play in. So I think we were behind 14-9 or something like that. But anyway, we're about midfield, and Coach, and we had a fourth down play. So Coach O'Brien sent the play in. So all the guys, which they bailed out on me at the end, but all the guys were saying, Howard, don't call that play. And Doug Carwell was a great fullback that we had. And Doug said, let's run the 27 jump pass out in the flat, and I'll catch it, and we'll make a first down. So I was sitting there talking. I said, no, Coach O'Brien. He said, no, come on, do it. So I said, okay. So I called a play, threw the ball out in the flat, and Doug dropped the ball.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he dropped the ball. So now they had the ball at midfield. I never will forget after the game. Everybody, and when I got into the dressing room, and all the guys got dressed as fast as they could, and they were gone. And I got dressed, and I was fixing to walk out, and Coach O'Brien said, Howard, I want to talk to you. And so he sat me down, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, number one, when the coach tells you something, you do it. And he said, but if you're going to be the leader of this football team, then you got to lead. You can't listen to the other guys. He said, now you look right now around this dressing room. He said, how many guys have bailed out on you and they don't want to face the music? And I said, Coach, I'm the only one in here. He said, that's what I'm talking about. And that stuck with me for a long time. If you're going to be a leader, you got to take consequences, whether it's good or bad, and then going about your business. But if you feel strongly about it, you have your heart in it, you think it's the right thing to do, then you go ahead and do it. So that was the biggest lesson that he probably ever gave me right there.
That's a good one there. You were quite the athlete in all sports. What was your best sport?
I don't know. It's funny. I played quarterback in football, and I was a guard in basketball, and I was a second baseman in baseball. And I always, I really love football, but as far as basketball is concerned, I always loved to practice basketball because basketball was a sport that every day you went to the gym, you could play the game. You could play a game as practice, part of your practice, whereas, you can't do that in football and you don't do it in baseball. So I guess I probably enjoyed practice in basketball more than I did football, but I love football, yeah. And I don't know, I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I always used to tell my dad that I was going to be a coach. And that's what I ended up in. So I don't know if that was the right decision or not, but that's what I'm stuck with.
Well, you did it for a lot of years. I know after college, you did a little high school, apparently, right? And then you went into the college ranks and then a long career in the NFL and pro ranks.
Yeah, I was in the NFL 25 years. I was in as 19 as a coach and 6 as a scout. And finished my career up in 2001 after we had gone to the Super Bowl with the St. Louis Rams. And I decided that was enough. I was 65, and it's time to hang it up. And my wife said, well, where are we going? I said, well, we're going where it's warm and close to the beach, and that's where we end up in Tampa, Florida. So,
how about that? You're still there today. How old are you now?
I'm 90.
How about that?
Yeah.
And yeah, you sound like you're doing well.
I'm doing real well. I go to the gym 4 days a week and work out and have no medical problems right now. So I'm just hope. I think I got my mom's DNA. She lived to be 92. And my dad died of lung cancer when he was 66. So I feel very fortunate I got my mom's DNA. I think all the Howards lived to be in the 90s. So So hopefully I can keep on going.
Well, you're doing great. I was reading. I found so much on the internet. I found some things. You know, you got to coach with Coach McKay. I guess that was your first NFL position. And
yeah, I was. I was at UCLA with Terry Donahue. Coach McKay gave me a call and asked me if I wanted to go in pro football. And so I visited with him for out there in California, and I decided to take the job and chance to get in pro football, which I did. So I was here with Coach McKay 6 years, and then with then right there with the Lehman Bennett for a couple of years, and then after that I went to Illinois 1 year and met my wife, who is, we've been married 32 years, and met my wife at Illinois, and then went on there was there 1 year, and then went to the Green Bay Packers, and I was in pro football for the rest of the time.
Well, Coach McKay, were you there when he made the comment when the reporter asked, what did you think of the execution of your team today? And he answered, I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. I tell you, he had a lot of funny sayings. He was something, yeah. Coach McKay was one of those guys that, when coaching for him, he would never, when you're out on the field coaching, he would never step into a drill and never correct you or whatever on the field. And but off the field, he could be tough at the times, but he knew that. And so I enjoyed working for him, and always used to tell him after I retired, I'd go by to see him. He was still here in Tampa, retired. And I always went by to see him. I always used to tell him, I said, well, Coach, always appreciate you because you're the one that hired me and got me in pro football. And he said, I know I was tough on you guys at times, but he said, that was always to let you realize that when you're coaching, you got to draw that line between the head coach, assistant coaches, and the players. And he said, that's why I was kind of a little tough off the field. And I said, I understand that now, Coach. but he was a great guy to work for. But he was funny. He had a lot of heck of a sayings, and he and Bear Bryant was real tight too. Coach Bryant was supposed to, when Coach Bryant had his heart attack and died, he had a fishing trip with Coach McKay 2 weeks to come down and go fishing with Coach McKay prior to when he had his heart attack. So they were real close, and Coach Bryant would come down, visit Coach McKay, and we'd get to visit with Coach Bryant all the time from Alabama. And, you know, that was nice, you know, for me being an Alabama guy. So, so I enjoyed that, too.
Were you with Vermeil with the Rams? Is that who was there when you were coaching at the end of your career?
Yeah. My first year, I went from the Packers to the L.A. Rams, and at that time, the L.A. Rams, that's when they were still in L.A., and that was with Chuck Knox. And I was there 2 years with Chuck Knox, and went back to Wayne Fonts, who I'd coached with for 6 years at Tampa. Wayne became the head coach at the Lions. So I left the St. Louis Rams and went to the Lions, and I was with Wayne. And then after Wayne retired, I went to back to the St. Louis Rams, and that's when Vermeil was there for 1 year, and then I coached with Mike March the other times.
What was it like winning the Super Bowl? To get that was, I guess, the one championship you had in all those years of coaching, correct?
Yeah. I tell you what, it's hard to get there and it's hard to win it, but that was the thrill of a lifetime. You know, I think about it now. Here's a little boy from Tallahassee, Alabama, and I'm in the Super Bowl, and we win the thing. And, you know, it's something I think as a coach and everybody, I think it's something you dream about. You don't think it'll ever happen to you, but it did, and it was a wonderful experience, you know, especially – playing in Atlanta, you know, I'm in the South, and we'll win the thing, and had a lot of friends there, and so that was a thrill. And it, you know, it's something that very few people can say they did, that they coached or played on a Super Bowl team winner. So happy about that.
It's the pinnacle of sports, isn't it? And everything. Yeah,
no question about it. No question about it. Yeah, I was very lucky for that to happen.
When I think about with all the places you've been, you've pretty much seen everything in this country for sure, haven't you?
Oh, no question about it. I said, there's one thing about a coach. He probably knows more about the United States than anybody, especially when he's in college recruiting and going to all the states and the different schools and all that. I said, you learn a lot of geography along the way, too. So it's tough on wives and tough on kids sometimes, but that's the cards you dealt. That's what you do. But I was very lucky to have a wife that loved football and still does. And she can't wait for the football season to start every year. She's just one of those that loves football. She could care less about basketball or baseball. She just loves football. And down here, since we're in Tampa, we go to what used to be the Outback Bowl every year on New Year's. Now it's the Reliance Quest Bowl. And so we've got tickets to that every year. And so we stay in it, and I stay in it when we do occasionally. I don't go to the Buck games anymore because being a coach, it's just hard to sit up in the stands and listen to the fans. So.
I bet it is. It is for me. I know it is for a coach.
That's right. That's right. So I can't do that. So, you know, when you're sitting there and some lady's telling you what they ought to be doing, if you're winning, they're happy as heck. And if you're losing, they're booing. So couldn't take that anymore. So I enjoy myself on the couch on football day in the NFL, that's for sure.
I do too. What's your wife's name? You said 32 years.
It's Julie.
Julie, okay. Ann. All right. Well,
she was a Julianne Becka, B-E-C-K-A, and she ran in college at the University of Illinois. She was a runner and still is. And we've had one daughter, Taylor, and she's a runner too, and she graduated from American University in Washington D.C. So She's been very successful herself. She just had a 6-month baby, so I've got a grandchild for the first time, and I'm 90 years old. So finally got a boy in the family.
Now, good for you. Well, you know, you're well deserved with the Hall of Fame induction you got here in Tallahassee, the Hall of Pride, as it's called, a few years back or so. I know that was a great thing that you deserved.
That's probably the greatest honor I've ever had. When they call me, Byron Nelson called me. Byron, his dad was superintendent of schools in Tallahassee for years and years. And then Byron went on to graduate from Auburn, then went to Peabody, and then became a school superintendent in Alabama for a lot of years. And he had called me and told me. He told me, I said, they must have not talked to my teachers about it. So I said my English teacher and my history teacher, my math teacher, probably rolling on in the grades. I'm in as much trouble I gave them in school in the classes. So, you know, did a lot of talking. Now I have one distinction though at Tallahassee High School, and I said this is how times have changed. Miss Gibson was my English teacher, so I'm sitting in class one day. And so she asked this girl a question and the girl didn't know the answer. So Miss Gibson was kind of getting on to her, and I interrupted her. And as soon as I interrupted her, she said, "Howard, get down to the office." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I go down to the office. I'm sitting in the office, and Mr. Pruitt, you know, hard boy Pruitt, who was a great player at Auburn at one time and was coach at Tallahassee at one time. He was principal of school, and, you know, he's one of those guys that you know, you could have all the noise you wanted to in the hallway when changing classes. He walked out in the hall, you could have heard a pin drop. So that's how it was. But anyway, he walks out and sees me sitting there, and the secretary said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, Miss Gibson said, send him down here." She said, "Well, send for Miss Gibson." So Miss Gibson came down, and he said, asked her, said, "Well, what did Howard do?" She said, he interrupted him and sassed me. He said, "All right." He looked over to the secretary and said, call Mary Jo. That was my mother. Call Mary Jo or Lloyd. That was my father. And get one of them to come down here." I said, "Okay." They said, "Okay." So I'm sitting in his office. My mother comes down. She walks in. The first thing she says was, what has this boy done now? And she said, "Now, Mary Jo, Howard's a good boy, but he sassed the teacher." And he said, "I'm going to give him a choice." And at that time, that we were in the district basketball tournament, was a favorite, and we were playing that in 2 days in the finals. And he said, "I'm going to give him two choices." He said, "I'm going to give him, he can take the easy way out and be suspended for 3 days and miss the tournament." He said, "Howard, what do you want to do?" And I said, Coach, I said, "Mr. Pruitt, I'll take the easy way out." I had no idea what the easy way out was. But my mother sitting right there. He said, "Grab," I had jeans on. He said, "Grab your ankles."
Oh, boy.
He had a board with a handle. It was a wooden board about an inch thick. And the first lick he hit me, I mean, tears came in my eyes. The second lick, my butt was burning like mad. And that third lick, boy, I had tears come in my eyes. I stood up and he said, and my mother sitting there, she said, I know no one parent would say this nowadays. She said, "Well, I'm glad you did that, Mr. Pruitt, because if you hadn't, his dad would have done it."
Oh, yeah.
So that's the way it was. He said, "You get back to class." And this was the worst part. He said, "You get back to class. You get in front of the class. You apologize to the class." Yeah. And you apologize to Miss Gibson. So I had to do that too. So that was my stink of how it was when I was in high school.
Really, times have changed, haven't they? Goodness gracious.
Big time, big time. Can you imagine a parent sitting there and they're pounding your son? And I was a senior in high school. What it was like.
Yeah. No, I can't. And we might need a little more of it, actually. Look at it today, probably.
I think it probably would. I know this, like I said, Mr. Pruitt walked out in that hallway, or Coach O'Brien, nobody said anything. I mean, you could drop a pin.
Yeah, demanded respect.
Man of respect, no question about it. No question about it. But I enjoyed it. I loved Tallahassee. I always said if Tallahassee had a college football team or a pro football team, I'd have moved back to Tallahassee. So I love my city. Had a great time going to school there. And had a lot of great friends, too. So.
Well, thank you so much for the time. This has been great. I hated I hadn't gotten your number before. I thank Susie Solomon Wilson for getting it for me, and thank you for the time.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And you can just relate to everybody how much I love Tallahassee and the people of Tallahassee. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was kind of, you know, all the mill people, basically, you know, they lived in mill houses on the east side of Tallahassee. And then the west side of Tallahassee is where most of the merchants lived and all that. That's the side I lived on, the west side. So we always had a pretty good rivalry between the east and the west at that time. So.
Well, I'm headed down there to the SEC Football Media Days. Our station always covers that. So it's in Tampa. I hope I can look you up. I've got your number. I'll maybe see if you could swing over to the hotel and chat with us on the radio one day if you got time.
I'll certainly do. If I ever get back to Tallahassee, I'll do that too and visit with you. But, when my dad had his restaurant there at the hotel, one of his breakfast recipients on Sundays was Pat Dye from Auburn. She drove all the way over there to eat my dad's breakfast. So so he loved the place too.
Yeah, he did. He loved Tattlesy. He used to come over here and frequent the cafe that was there too afterwards.
So. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, when he was living on his farm up there in Dayton. So I knew Pat real well. He's a good friend. And hate to see him pass, but he was a legend in his own time. But he had I had a chance to work for him one time. And I think about it now, I could have probably ended up at Auburn. But he was at Alabama and got the as assistant and got the Wyoming job. He went out to Wyoming.
Yeah.
He called me up and he said, "Howard, you want to join my staff at the defensive coordinator out here at Wyoming?" And I told him, I said, "Pat, I said, I can't live in Wyoming." I said, "It's not too far from home, but I said, it's too cold." And he said, "Well, I understand that." So then the next year, after his first year, he ended up being, you know, coming back to Auburn as a head coach.
But where were you at that point? Were you already in the NFL when he, I guess you were already in the NFL at that point, weren't you?
Yeah. I was at, just trying to think where I was. I was probably with the Rams at that time. I'm not sure, but I think I might.
Well, and you coached with Bobby Bowden too, did you, at West Virginia?
Yeah, I was Bobby's. I was on the staff with Bobby when he was an assistant, and he was a deep offensive coordinator, and I was a defensive coordinator with Jim Carlin, and Jim had been a coach on Bobby Dodd's staff at Georgia Tech. And he got that job out of Georgia Tech to West Virginia. So he had Bobby and I was two of his assistant coaches. Yeah,
I read something on that. I was going to say that when you were there's something about when you came back at 70 that there was an article I picked up that talked about how you the Carlin system liked the quicker, smaller linemen, and you had nobody over 220 pounds. That's hard to believe now too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He picked all that up from Georgia Tech. You know, Bobby, you know, when I was growing up, you know, it's hard for people to believe. When I was growing up in the 50s, the top schools in the SEC was Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia Tech, and Ole Miss. And that was the top four teams every year. I remember, and this is the truth, I remember we used to find out when Auburn's homecoming game was going to be, and we would hitchhike over to Auburn. And at that time, high school kids could get into the Auburn game for $1 and sit in the bleachers down in the end zone. Well, and for $1, so we'd go every year. And it was funny. One year, and you know, most of the time you play the teams that you can beat at homecoming. So the homecoming game was always, get this, Florida or Mississippi State. And Florida at that time had the worst record in the SEC than anybody. And that's hard for a lot of people to believe, but that's true.
Who did you pull for? Do you have a college team you pulled for back then when you were in high school?
I always pulled for Alabama. You know, I had an uncle that went to Alabama, went to law school there. And I had an opportunity to go there, and I went up there in the summer, going to be on scholarship. Went up there in the summer, met a girl. She went to East Tennessee, and like a crazy young guy, I followed to East Tennessee. And then I was there, and I was captain of the team my senior year. But anyway, at East Tennessee, I think we broke up after the first semester that we were there, but there I was. So,
well, it went well for you. I saw you were named the most popular male student your senior year there, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on that.
I appreciate that. But like I said, the Hall of Pride was my favorite. That's been the most prestigious award I've ever gotten. That's the truth from my heart. Yeah, that's the truth. I'm old Tallahassee boy. You know, can't get that out of my system, and I'll always be that way.
Well, that's great information. Again, I do hope we can touch base here soon down the road. I appreciate your time today, Coach.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you calling me. And if anything I can help you with, I certainly feel right to do that. And I did enjoy Olivia sent me a book, her daughter.
Susie.
Right. And she sent me a book about Hotz Boys, you know,
O'Brien wrote. That was written by W.C. Bryant, yes.
W.C. and I were in the same class together. W.C. was our best pitcher we had when we were in baseball, yeah.
I've heard. Tennessee had a baseball team in those days in high school, right? Because there was a window when they didn't have one, I guess, after you were in school.
Yeah, we had a baseball team and had a real good one. And like I said, Coach O'Brien coached baseball, and he was tough. But, and all our top opponents at that time, the biggest was sitting in there, Montgomery. And, of course, at that time, Lanier was the only high school in the city. So it was a big against the little old country boys. They used to say, here comes the country boys. And I remember my senior year when we played Lanier in football, we played to a 6-6 tie. We scored, and Doug Caldwell was trying an extra point, and we were a big underdog, and they blocked the extra point, so it was 6-0. We kicked off, and a guy named Brock from Sidney Lanier ran a 96-yard touchdown back on us. Yeah. And for the rest of the game, nobody scored. So we had a 6-6 tie, and so that was pretty big for the Tigers at that time. We had, in 46, or I think 46, Tallahassee had beaten Sidney Lanier when Tallahassee had the long winning streak.
Yep.
And then the next year they got it broken by Sidney Lanier for the first loss. And I never will forget, I was a manager of the team at that, one of the managers, being Buddy Nelson were. And I never will remember what Coach O'Brien said after the game. He said, "Boys, I'm kind of relieved that it's all over with." And it probably was, because there was a lot of pressure every week. Towson got so used to winning, you have to go to Plant's Drugstore on Mondays or for Saturdays after the game. And, everybody had already critiqued the game, so it was, so that's the way it was.
I've heard that from more than a few people that have said it was a little bit of a relief, truthfully. Yeah, you're right.
It was, that was a lot of pressure on Coach O'Brien. And Coach O'Brien, if you look at his record, he had one of the best records in basketball, too, as far as the number of times he won state tournament. Didn't have a lot of luck in the state tournament, but we always went. Every time we'd go, we'd always seem to draw. We drew one Selma one year, and they won it all. And then the next year, we went and had a heck of a good team, and we drew Coffee out of Florence, and they won it all. So we always said we should have drawn the stick rather than the coaches drawing. We might have drawn somebody we could beat.
Coach O'Brien was a basketball player himself when he played, and that's where they picked up the Hot nickname, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's where he got his name. Yeah, Hot. Yeah, he was a outstanding. At that time at Birmingham Southern. And, later on became Howard, later on became Sanford. And he was an outstanding athlete there. In high school, he was probably one of the best athletes that Dadeville ever had. So, he was very successful there, too. And when he came back, he went to Dadeville and was successful as a coach. From Dadeville, he took the Tallahassee job, and they asked him why he would leave Dadeville with as good a teams as he had, and he made the statement, "Well, I get to coach all those Milltown boys. There's a lot of them. They're all over the county." so he got there and stayed there a long time.
Yeah, golly. Well, it's great reminiscing with you. I appreciate your time again, Coach. And again, well, I hope we'll talk again another time here. Maybe when I'm down in Tampa, I'll look you up.
Yeah, I want you to do that. I appreciate it. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And I'll send you the link to the article when we get it done, if that's okay.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Coach Howard Tippett with us here on the Wake Up Call.